Well, it is good to be here, up here with you all, gathering around God's Word. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not sure what's more intimidating, trying to choose one small section from the longest chapter in the Bible, or to try to tell you guys who have been in the Word longer than I've been in ministry, or following our Lord, to tell you something new. But that is one of the things that I love about God's Word, is that it has so much for us that I think we can find something that will be encouraging for us today. But this is more than just a collection of books. It's God speaking to us as He's created, formed, and kept this Word to us as a glorious gift. And I'm thankful for that this morning. And what I hope you see is that this is meant to be a delight to us, not just something that we're to read daily, but we'll get to that in just a little bit more. But as we begin, as you see from my title, I'll be talking about delight this morning. So I want you guys to think of something you delight in now, as it will help us a little bit. And while you do, I hope you'll grant me to share a quote with you that popped up as I was preparing this week. And as it so happens, it's another quote from somebody who Kevin quotes often, and I don't know how that always happens, that I find the same authors when he's not here. But this one is from John Calvin, and it reads, "There is not one little blade of grass, there is no color in this world that is not intended to make men rejoice." And I think we can see how rejoicing and delighting go hand in hand. But I want to tell you guys something that I'm sure will be a surprise, but something that I delight in, and that's hiking and in nature. Because this is a picture from one of the hikes that I delight most in, and even hiking around here in the fall, the colors turn my eyes towards heaven and their Creator. Seeing all the trees in the forest is a great canvas to my eye that make me think of God. When I'm out hiking and I see great mountains like this, or even the small pebbles that glitter on the path in the sun, there's something about nature that God has given us that is truly a gift. It's something that helps me and my soul delight in God, because I can't help but see God in the world that He has created for us. And that's natural revelation. That's good and wonderful. But God's also given us the special revelation of His Word, and I want to focus in on this morning. And I see some of the youth group out here, and I'm sure on more than one occasion, they can tell you I've held up the Word and said, this is the most important thing that you'll ever read. And I know Kevin has said the same. And that's what I want to look at this morning. Because while the Bible is a delight, I also find that the world is making it harder and harder for us to delight in it. Whether it's from the world trying to tell us that the Bible is outdated or in some instances wrong, it is neither. It is both timely for us, and it is still true as God has created it. And I think the other thing is, we all know how busy we are. We take in about a million things a day, it seems, or at least the world pushes that on us. So I want us to think how our days are different when we spend even just a few moments in the Bible, because I can notice a difference in my days. And if we're going to have our time in the Word be something that we enjoy and not just another discipline, we need to see that it's not a dread, that it's a habit that can lead to our encouragement and growth in our life. So, as you see in your bulletin, the text that I would like to preach from this morning is Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. And it shows us how this Word is a delight to us. And it reads, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimony I delight, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word." In just the same way as the section before that Harley read in our call to worship, you can see that it's all focused on God's word. But before we dive in, would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray that this morning you would help us delight in it, like riches as we have just read, that you would use my words to help us know you and love you more, even more today. God, would you use this time to your honor and glory? In Jesus' name, amen. So, just a little bit of context about this chapter, as it is the longest one in the Bible with 150 verses. I found it fascinating that only 7 verses out of all those don't mention God's word. That the writer was consumed with the love and the delight in God's word, that it just filled his pen as he was writing this. And it's not that he didn't have the complete Bible like we did. The New Testament hadn't happened yet. And it's possible that it was around the same time when King David was writing his Psalms, where they maybe only had 9 books of the Old Testament. So there are treasures and gems in these words that help us know and love God, and they're worth digging for. And this morning, I just kind of want to walk through that and show how God's word riches and fulfills our lives. And I'm sure we can all understand the first verse of this, of how can a young man keep his way pure? And we all know that this isn't just for a young man. But again, for anybody looking how to have a good life or a life that's pure, God's word is where we turn. And we need to turn to it because we know as humans we're prone to wander and to stray. It doesn't take us very far in the pages of the Bible to see that man turns away from God's, what he's intended for us, God's path. From Adam to the Israelites to us today, we have all gone our own way. The Bible tells us that we've fallen short. But this word gives us an encouragement because it says that we can keep our way pure, and that's by following its guide. Because we know we stray, we've just talked about that. But we do have a guide, and the New Testament very readily points out that that is Jesus. He has actually done more than what a guide does. He has paved the way for us and come and sought us to bring us on it. So as Christ has made our way, we have a guide and a way to follow. He's restored our relationship to God. And through his words and through the words of the Holy Spirit, we are now able to live and act in the way that God has told us to. But that doesn't mean that it's an easy path, and I think we all know that. Because the word also tells us that we must guard our path. And there are many things that we have to do to guard something, but I found 3 to be the most helpful as we guard ourselves. The first is action. I think it's pretty self-evident that any guard who doesn't act or is constantly asleep on the job wouldn't keep his post for long, and rightfully so. If it's your job to protect something or make sure that it's kept safe, you have to act to make sure that it's safe and not seized. We can't be asleep at our post. And James 1:22 says just that we have to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Because there's a reality to the things that we read in God's word. We have to put them into practice, into our life, for them to take hold and take effect. The next is vigilance. If you'll allow me one more nature analogy, I find it's just like hiking on a wooded path that hasn't been traveled in years and all the underbrush or the understory has grown up. It gets a lot harder and it takes a lot keener eye to make sure we're on the path that God has intended us and not following some deer trail or a spur trail with no markings that in the end leads us to an alternate destination. And what do we do then? It takes more energy to retrace our steps and get to where we're going, or do we just settle for that new destination? Neither of these are what God wants us to do. And that's why he tells us that we have to be vigilant, keeping track of what is we're taking in our lives and what way we're going. And lastly, we need fidelity. Faithfulness, as we tend to use the word today. But we have to see what's coming in our lives and what we're allowing in. Because as we've said before, we tend to stray and fall off the path, whether intentional or not. But when times get tough, are we committed to that? Because as followers of Christ, we said that we would be. And I know, at least in my time in the Word, it feels like my mind is against me at least half the time, with all the things that I know I need to do later on that day, or just all the random thoughts that we take in daily. And yes, sometimes it's just the discipline of wrangling them and focusing on God's Word. But even when we just take in things at surface level, they still have a hold on us. Because how many times do we watch commercials or are scrolling through media and we see advertisements when weeks or years later we can still remember their jingle, the image, or the joke that was given in a commercial? So these surface level things really do make an imprint on us. And I just want to ask, how much more should we plant deep the Word of God in our lives? Because it is a blessing that's been given to us, and we want it to have deep roots and penetrate far deep the surface level. And that's really what I think the writer helps us do in these next couple of verses, is by pointing that out, ways that we can help the Word grow in our lives. Verses 10 through 12 read, "With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, and teach me your statutes." We need to seek to know what the Word says, first off, because we know, we have to know what's required of us. And the writer says it right away. We have to seek God with our whole heart. We can't just go at this half-hearted or hoping to glean something from a quick read if we want to have it grow deep roots in our lives. The writer is fully committed to God, so much so that he doesn't want to sin, because that would be destroying the desires of his heart, as he doesn't want to sin against him. This sounds like someone who has their affections in order. And he does, as we see as we get further into this psalm. But the hard one is storing up God's word in our heart. At least it is for me. I know memorization isn't necessarily my strong suit, but I still want to give a call for memorization. Because as the writer stored up God's word in his heart, it helped him fix his eye on it. It kept those distractions at bay, and what's more is that it was for his benefit and the benefit of others. Because when we have the word stored in our hearts and minds, we take it with us wherever we go, and we can share it with others. I think having it stored up in his heart is one of the main things that helps him delight in his time in the Word. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that we need to have the Bible memorized forwards or backwards, because that's not what increases our salvation or makes us holier. But how much more when we carry those words that have been a comfort and a path for generations and generations, to take them with us wherever we go. And we've memorized many things in our lives, from phone numbers, names, arithmetic, and even to how to spell words. But we need to make sure that we're memorizing what's good and what's true. And even more so, how they're to be used in our life, like we said, that vigilance and that faithfulness. Because understanding is the other thing that we have to make sure that we have. And that's why he calls to be taught the ways of the Lord. Because as you've heard before, context is important. Understanding how the Bible is to be used is necessary. Because one of the things I see is that when the Bible's taken out of context, it can do almost more harm than good by leading people to a false understanding or a false thought of how things should be. And we don't want the word to be a stumbling block, because it should be our delight. And I'm not talking about ignoring the hard parts, because even those are there for our blessing. And that all comes from knowing who the author is. Because as we see, the writer says that the Lord is blessed. And I'll be honest, that's been a phrase that I've been thinking about all week, because it seems slightly strange to say, but ultimately true because of who God is. He is good and right and just. There is no way else to describe him other than blessed. And he's given us a word, a letter to us, our owner's manual, and our path. But in teaching, I do want to point out that I am very thankful that that is something that we take seriously here at Albion. From our groups and our studies, we love talking about learning from and basing everything on God's word. And I want us to encourage, to give us an encouragement to continue on that. We base everything off the Bible and not just what we think. And I'm thankful for that. But I would love to see that more and more. As we spend time in God's word and what he reveals to us, I can't help but think that it should be commonplace that we would share that with one another. Because that's exactly what God's word has told us to do. And that's what it does. It teaches us, it encourages us, and it equips us. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it's useful for teaching, reproof, correction, and equipping us. Because it shapes what we see when we share it with others and when we take it in ourselves. We should seek to be complete in the word and not just satisfied with being unfamiliar with it. And now I'm sure that I haven't told you guys anything new. And if you're one of those, I'm thankful for that because you have good understanding and practices with the word of God. And what I really want us to see this morning is how we're to delight in the word. Because in the few verses that end this section, the writer gives us what holds him to studying the word of God. And he simply writes, "And in the ways of your testimony, I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word." And this is my hope and my prayer for us, that our hearts and souls would delight in the word. Not that we would elevate this book over the message, but in as much as riches and for our delight. And as I said, we delight in this book because of what it says. There are places in our world, sadly, that this book is illegal and its message isn't to be shared under penalty of death sometimes. So I want us to take the blessing that we can take this book and have it in many places in this building, have a copy of it at our home, and how we can take it in a pocketbook size to read it on break at work, or to have it on an app on our phone and bring it wherever we go. That's a blessing that I don't want us to overlook. Because as we take the living word of God with us everywhere, we hold the gospel and what it tells, so that we can show the whole theme in the grand narrative from the first man till now of our need for a Savior who's come for us, so that we may know God and his salvation and how valuable that is. Because when we swap reading this book to get something out of it other than what God has told us to find out how to become rich or earn men's favor or fame, we're looking at it very short-sightedly in light of the riches and what God has called us to. And I don't mean to sound harsh, but those times when we look at the Bible just for a duty, to read it because it's just a Christian habit that we must do, I want us to take a step back and really look at the Bible and the grand wonder and blessing that it is to see who wrote it and what it means for our life. Because then I think we'll have a delight in the Bible. Even the hard parts, because I'll be honest, the genealogies aren't where I run to for encouragement, but I'm learning that each and every name that is written in them, God has been faithful. Through all those generations and each name that is recorded, he hasn't changed. And one of the things that also helps us is to fill our mind with the word. Meditate on them like the psalmist. He focuses on them so that it fills his thoughts, he says. For his understanding and knowledge, yes, because that is good, but also because it shows God's goodness. That's one thing that has come under attack more and more, as I feel like this word is shown to be not good because it disrupts feelings or thoughts or what people want it to be. But it is good. Because God, who is good, gave us this word. And while that's a simple truth, I think it's one that we have to be reminded of daily. Because how else can we view his word when we know the one who is good and true has written to us? And I want us to think, do we delight in the word? Because it's the only book that I know that I can finish from this cover and start again and to find new each time. Find a hidden gem or something that is illuminated from rereading it. It increases our knowledge, but it's for our delight. So I asked you early on something you delight in. And I'm not going to ask for anybody to share, but I want you to think of that now. Because do we delight in God's word the same? And just a couple of examples that I was thinking of common things people would delight in are potentially a spouse or a child. And that comes from spending time with them, right? Watching them grow, understanding their quirks and mannerisms and the things that you enjoy. Or maybe it's an activity. Sports are a common one where you understand everything that needs to go through and how a team needs to work well together to accomplish a goal. There's generally a familiarity with it that we need to have a deep delight and a joy. And the same is true with the word. So there, with the wonder and amazement that we get from being familiar with something, there's a sense that draws us in and fills us up for when we have that understanding. It blesses us because we know what has taken place. I don't want us to miss that delight with the word. Not knowing the word or even forgetting that it's a gift from God to us can take away our delight. So looking at it correctly is important. And I'm not trying to guilt you into spending more time in the word, but to show you that there is a delight to be had. And there is a phrase from another pastor that says our Bible reading often moves from a duty to a delight. And I think that would be true if you interviewed or asked somebody who has a good time in the word how they got there. It's generally not an instantaneous process, but our daily habit does move to delight. And it should increase. That's the hope. And I think, again, I'm going to make this point of how we look at the Bible shapes how we think about it, because we often talk about spending time in the Word as feeding our soul. And I'm going to stray from the normal path here of I don't want us to think of it as a diet, because we all know how we feel when we fall off that path. But what if we thought more about it as a dessert or a delicacy that we got to take in every day? But more so than that, how it's a real relationship with our Savior, in that we don't want our Savior to be a stranger, because it is hard to delight in a complete stranger until you get to know them. And I don't believe that's the intent he had in giving us his word. And when we do fail, when we have a bad week or a bad time where we haven't been in his word, I don't want us to feel guilty about coming back. Because when we're familiar with the author, we know that we can jump back in where we left off at any time. And we have a good guide, a good friend, a good father, and a good Savior who is meeting us whenever we come back, wherever we are on that path. Because that's who he is. And what keeps us there is our growing delight. This isn't something that I think should stay stagnant. It's because when we find how God has revealed his Son coming for us to rescue us from sin, and how God has stepped down from his throne and come into time for us, that the Word became flesh in John 1:14. It makes the words so much real. We know these aren't stories or anything that man has made up, that they're historically verifiable. They help us keep us on our path from going astray, and they're constant reminders and warnings from the Word to help each of us stay on the path and grow. So, we have more delight in God's Word as it draws us in and it fills us up. I hope we see that it's not a burden for us to carry, but it's a gift as we enter to hear our Savior teach us and love us through his words. As he poured out his life for us, how much more will he pour out his words for our encouragement and for our growth? We delight in him because that's what his word has given us for, and we cannot delight in his word until we delight in him. Because then we cannot grow, or we cannot go to these pages without seeing him and finding him. Because then we will find the greatest delight, because we will know him and see him and storing in our thoughts and our hearts, as he has made his throne in them and delights in them. And this delight, it transforms us. And that's one of the greatest things about Christianity, is how God has placed us a new heart with new desires when we come into salvation through the work of Christ and the Holy Spirit, is that our delight increases. We increase in delight in the gospel because of what he has done for us. We simply cannot, because we see how valuable it is. And our delight overflows into our life and our actions. We cannot hold it in when we see what God has done for us, how he calls us to live and how he calls us to act. So our delight increases and declares the gospel in our lives. The whole goal of what God has called us to do is to go out and to spread and to make him known. And how much more do we want to do that when we see him in his word and we want to share it with others? There are riches stored in these pages as they transform our hearts and our minds. They become living and active, as the word says, but they also become our sword and our shelter. We have a great gift in the word because they tell of our Savior, his love for us, our eternal home with him, and then he fills our hearts and overflows it so that we can carry out the gospel. This morning, I hope when we are filled when we come to his word, because it's our delight, and one in which continually increases as we delight in his word, as he became flesh. And I pray that we delight in all the more as we go this morning, as it transforms us, fills us, and keeps us. And I'd like to close in prayer and thank God for his word. Lord, I thank you for the word that you have given us. God, I pray that you would increase our delight in your word and make us people of your word even more so. God, you've given us something more valuable than riches. Help us see it and store it in our hearts. Lord, help us meditate on it and fill our minds. God, keep us planted firmly in your foundation of the word, and help us to look to it for our life paths and decisions and everything else you call to us, Lord. God, you've given us a great delight that we can see and know you in it. Help us to use it as we go out today. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.